Life. Sometimes so much is compressed into such a little word. Life can be overwhelming, but also quite breathtaking. Join our host, Josiah Carrick, as we follow a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, and a senior, each experiencing life's joys and challenges here at Cedarville University. We can have hope through everything because Romans 8:28 reminds us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. This is 1,000 Days, a Resound Radio podcast.
Hey, Ben, welcome back.
Hey, Josiah, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's day 461 for you.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
That means it's almost 100 days past a year, which is weird because we were just counting down to a year last, like, week, it felt like. But no, time is a strange, cruel social illusion.
Probably by the end of the year, school year, you're going to hit 500.
That's weird. That's just
weird. That's kind of how that works, right? Halfway would mean 500.
Josiah, but I don't feel like I'm halfway. That's the thing. It's just like, part of me is like, yes, I'm a wise, sage old man who's seen the world. But I'm also like, I'm a child who just got finished with like freshman year of high school.
You know, that's strangely accurate.
I feel like at any point someone's going to come up and be like, what are you doing here? And rip off the mask and it's just me, a high schooler underneath. And like, go back, finish. And I'm like, oh.
Well, because sometimes I still think I'm in high school.
Yeah.
Which is probably not the best thing.
It's really not. You're a senior, aren't you?
Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. So your journal entry, you talk about getting ready for spring break.
Mm-hmm.
You've had intense midterm exams. What have those been like?
Well, that's the weird thing. I've only had technically one exam, but I've had so many papers.
Oh.
And I like that better. I prefer having long-term, like, I prefer like a paper that I can work on, but I also don't, because then it's like you have to work on that constantly. Whereas an exam, it's like you're stressing about it and then you take it and you're like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But like the paper, it's like you have to get this done over a very long period of time. So when you have a couple of those built up along with other work,
right,
it's kind of crazy. And I'm in qualitative research. I think I mentioned that before, which means we learn about researching as we do a research project. So throughout the week, we constantly do things like we have to conduct interviews or we have to memo about other people's interviews. So it's like constant busy work for that. So it's just a little bit crazy. Not last night, but the night before, I may or may not have had to pull an all-nighter, which was...
Wow. Have you ever had to do that before?
Oh, I've done it a couple times. I used to, that was the thing. In high school,
really?
I could, I would stay up so late doing things, or I would like pull all-nighters and I'd be like, yeah, I got this. I can do this.
I am so cool. I pulled an all-nighter.
I was like, I can do this and not be tired. And then the moment I come to college, I feel like an 80-year-old man who's mm-hmm. like wanting to take his bedtime at like 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to do all-nighters before, but like I don't do them lightly. It's like if I have to stay up, it's because I have to stay up.
It's impressive in my perspective because I have never been able to pull an all-nighter. I have tried once or twice and I was like, nope. Cannot.
Well, there have been one or two times where I almost did that too. And I was like, I'm going to do this. And I was like, nah, I can go to bed. Or I've done almost like, I've done like stay up till like 4, get up at 9, stay up till 5, get up at 9, that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's not preferred. None of this is preferred. I prefer like a normal, healthy sleep schedule, but we're getting there. I got 8 hours last night. So
that's fantastic.
Not to brag, but I'm pretty rested for once.
Well, and you'll get that rest back over break.
Yes, I am hoping so because, oh my word.
Well, let's talk about something else that's been taking up your sleep. You mentioned that you have some more developing issues among a friendship.
Yeah.
What's been going on there? Because this is not the first time we've talked about this.
Yeah. This is interesting. Again, it's going to be really hard. I'm trying not to talk too much details because I don't want to expose.
Well, something that you said that's been different from the past was that you labeled this unhealthy in the journal entry.
The friendship itself is not unhealthy, but my involvement with it has been. Because you get to this point, I've gotten to this point every semester where whether it be a friendship or a friend group or an obligation like a play or an org or whatever, there'll be something that's a tipping point. And that'll make me go, oh, shoot, I'm giving too much XYZ. Whether that be emotions, whether that be time, whether that be like just mental thinking.
How do you determine that?
I normally don't well until I'm in there and I go, I am drained. I am burnt out. Oh.
And where does that come from? Does that come from you
it's
or
from
does
me.
That come from the other person?
It's from me usually. This is a friendship that's been very good and to me. but someone who's been struggling with a lot of things. And then my personality, if someone's struggling, like, I want to be there, I want to help. But then it's gotten to a point where I've realized I've been giving so much. And not in like a shame on them way, like, oh, you're not giving back. It's just I've been giving so much, I haven't really stopped and realized, okay, this is getting out of the place it should be. Like, I need to, like, my emotional capacity, my time, my energy, my just brain power, like, too much of that is being given away.
Are you the only one helping?
At the start, yes. Now, no, which is good.
You should share the wealth, for mm-hmm. sure.
And that's one thing when I started that friendship was like, yo, you should, like, helping encourage, like, introducing to some of my other friends or other people I think that they would hit it off with, like, that kind of thing. Like, being, like, trying to connect them with other friends and with other good, like, good godly friends that can be there and help. So, like, yeah, that's happened. So that's good. But now it's just kind of like I get into a pattern of thinking and then it's hard to break out of that. But I've realized, like, yo, I've been letting this take so much out of me. It's become unhealthy to me. Not the friendship, not the person. Like, that's good. The person's good. The person's not done anything wrong. But it's just my interaction with that has crossed the line of where it needs to be. And it's gotten into, like, the time I can give into classes, or the time I can invest in other friend groups and friendships, or, like, being able to grab a coffee with someone I haven't seen in a while, like, that kind of stuff. So it's like, I don't want one thing to eclipse all the other things. And I know that was something we talked about last semester that I struggled mm-hmm. with. So it's just like, I'm noticing that that's not there yet, but it's getting close to it. So I'm like, I need to stop.
You're recognizing it now.
Yeah. And it's not to the point where it's like eclipsing everything, but it's going down that path. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I need to make not even a U-turn, just to change roads. Because I still want to invest in this friendship. I still want to continue it. It's been great. But I need to do so in a way that doesn't compromise myself or other things that I need to be focusing on.
When you have been in this situation before, in comparison, right now you sound and look better than you have.
First of all, thank you. You look better than I'm kidding.
That's not what I meant.
No, I know what you mean. And I guess it's because I think last semester really took a lot. It took a long time for me to realize when I needed to cut back and when I needed to pull back and let things happen. I'm a control freak. I've realized that. Mm. Not in, like, cases of, like, assignments or this or that, but, like, I want to know all the things, put them in their place, and then figure out what to do. Like, if someone's mad at me, I want to figure out exactly what happened, exactly what I went wrong, and make amends however I can. Or, like, I have feelings for someone. Like, I need to know all the things. But, like, that's my problem is I just want to know and then figure it out from there. But there are times where you can't. You have to, and the Bible says we're not supposed to. There was a chapel, I think, 3 weeks ago that was like, hey, you should walk by faith and not by sight. And I was like, I haven't been doing that. Like, with God, I have been, but with everything else, I've been trying to figure it all out. So I guess I've realized when to just go, okay, I'm gonna let this go for a second. Not like let it go, but like, I'm gonna take a pause on this and let things fall into place if they're gonna fall into place. And if not, I'll take my next step. And that's something I learned last semester. So I think this semester, just recognizing that I'm going back to that way of thinking a little bit, the bad way of thinking, and going like, hey, I need to realize that the longer I hold on to this, the more it's not that you're holding on to it, it's that you're strangling it. You're strangling something good. And from pretty much every experience, the times that I've been like, okay, God, I'm going to let go of this, or okay, I'm going to step back from this, or I'm going to take a pause on this and figure out like where you're leading me from this, or where this person's at, like that stuff. It has worked out more than when I try to just hold on to it and fix it myself. So a selfish part of me is like, no, keep doing exactly how you have been for this friendship. Like, keep doing all the things. It'll work out. But then a part of me is also like, no, I can't do that, because not only is that dangerous, but it's also selfish. And it's not trusting God with something that I care about. And so if I care about that friendship, if I care about it, I need to be willing to be like, okay, Lord, like, show me how to proceed with this, not just the way I want to proceed with it.
Of course, the situation is not good. However, I do like how you acknowledge that you've made mistakes in the past, and the only way that we do grow is by learning from those mm-hmm. mistakes. So now that you're in the situation, a similar one again, you're able to see mm-hmm. what went wrong before, so you can fix it preemptively now.
I mean, not to keep going back to my one thing last semester, but like, that's the biggest thing I learned from The Giver. Mistakes and things that we're not proud of have a part in our life, not just into shaping us, like, through the experiences, but but also in recognizing the past and patterns that have happened in the past that need to make sure that they don't happen again. Like in The Giver, how they keep going back to things in the past and be like, oh, we can't do this because when we did, it led to hunger. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, oh, I can't do this action because when I started going down this path last semester, it got into some serious problems and God got me out of that. So I can't put myself back on that path. So yeah,
it's wise of you.
Thank you. It's come with a lot of practice and failed experiences, but it's just a weird juggling, you know? And sometimes you're going to drop the balls a couple times, but then just got to keep picking it up and trying to put things back in their places, I suppose.
Let's talk about what's going to happen during spring break.
Oh boy, let's.
So you're going on a trip with some of your Mukapa mm-hmm. friends.
Yes, sir. One of my friends, last year we went to Easter break. We spent Easter break in D.C. with a couple of my friends and my one friend had an aunt who lived in D.C. And so we went and visited them. It was like 2 or 3 days. It was so fun. And that same aunt has like a lake house in Maryland and has invited us down there. So we're going to go down. We don't really have any concrete plans of things that are going to happen, but like we've decided like food scheduling because we have to like cook food and I'm here for that because I love to cook so much. So like we're going to like split up meals and then we have like, I think one or two things planned, like maybe a hike one day or this, but just like going down with people and being able to just deep breath and do nothing. I mean like do things, but like not worry about assignments for a while, not worry about stress for a while, just like get rest, enjoy conversations, like and bring down my PlayStation and play one of those interactive scary games that I've been trying to play with some of the guys forever.
Okay, all of that's great, but you have to get sleep.
Oh
then.
No, the sleep is the first priority. I'm going to get so much sleep. I'm going to go to bed at like 2. I'm going to sleep until like 10. Okay, I'm going to go to bed at midnight and sleep till like 9.
Maybe a little longer.
Sleep till like 10. Well, I want breakfast.
No.
People are going to be cooking breakfast. Like home-cooked breakfast. Do you remember what that tasted like, Josiah?
You'll wake up to the smell.
Here's my plan. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to get good sleep. I'm going to wake up to the sound of bacon and bacon frying on a griddle. The smell wafting in. The birds are chirping outside. Children are laughing somewhere. Like, life is good. That's my plan for spring break.
Is that what your future holds, too? That's what you're...
The smell of coffee wafting in. Yeah. I'm like, the Lord is good. Which he is. But also, that's definitely a realistic expectation for what's going to happen at spring break and not at all unrealistic and concerning at all in my expectations. We're good. Everything's fine.
Well, thank you for sharing about break. And also, of course, all the personal things going on. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you get some rest.
I will. And I'll let you know if the smell of bacon wakes me up.
Yes, please. We'll talk after break.
See you, Josiah.
Before you go, I hope you enjoyed this episode of 1000 Days, a Resound Radio podcast. If you liked it, you can follow us on Instagram and like our Facebook page. You can also go to our website, resoundradio.com, where you can listen to Resound's music broadcast, more episodes of 1000 Days, and view the journal entry from today's episode. This episode was produced by Jer Mobley and Hannah Newman, and edited by Jer Mobley. I'm Josiah Carrick. Thanks for listening.